Morning, we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, Text Number 20.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prabodayati Mavigyam Yushite Shokukarshita Vatmaita Griha Medina Vatmaita Griha Mediyam Virasur apineshyati Prabodhayati mavigyam Yushite shokakarshita Vatmaitagriya mediyam Virasur apineshyati Prabodhayati mavigyam Yushite shokakarshita Vatmaita griya mediyam Virasur apineshati. Bodayati mavigyam Yushite shokakarshita Vodayati Mavigyam Yushite Shokakarshita Vatmaita Griya Mediyam Virasura Pineshati.
Any Mataji?
Vodayati Mavigyam Yushite Shokakarshita Atmaita Griya Mediyam Virasura Pineshati
Prabodhayati gives good counsel. Ma unto me Avigyam foolish Vyushite, at the time of my being away, Shoka, by aggrievement, Karshita, being aggrieved, and thus dried up, Vartma, path, Etat, this, Griha Mediyam, of household responsibilities. Virasu, the mother of great heroes. Api, although. Neshyati, will she be able to execute? Translation. King Puranjan continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel, and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. Please repeat. King Puranjan continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel, and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. At the time of death, King Puranjan was thinking of his wife, and this is called polluted consciousness. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text 7, Mameivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasastanindriyani prakritishani kharshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity is, after all, part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. In other words, Krishna's constitutional position and the living entity's constitutional position are the same qualitatively. The only difference is that the living entity is eternally an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Mameivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. In this material world of conditioned life, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, is struggling due to his contaminated mind and consciousness. As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, a living entity is supposed to think of Krishna. But here we see that King Puranjan, the living entity, is thinking of a woman. Such mental absorption with some sense object brings about the living entity's struggle for existence in this material world. Since King Puranjan is thinking of his wife, his struggle for existence in the material world will not be ended by death. As revealed in the following verses, King Puranjan had to accept the body of a woman in his next life due to his being overly absorbed in thoughts of his wife. Thus, mental absorption in social, political, pseudo-religious, national and communal consciousness is cause for bondage. During one's lifetime, one has to change his activities in order to attain release from bondage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 9. Yagyatat karmano nyatta loka yam karma bandana. If we do not change our consciousness in this life, whatever we do in the name of social, political, religious, or communal and national welfare will be the cause of our bondage. This means we have to continue in material conditioned life. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text 7, Manasastanindriyani prakriti shtani kashati. When the mind and senses are engaged in material activities, one has to continue his material existence and struggle to attain happiness. In each and every life, one is engaged in the struggle to become happy. Actually, no one in this material world is happy, but the struggle gives a false sense of happiness. A person must work very hard, and when he attains the result of his work, his hard work, he thinks himself happy. In the material world, people do not know what real happiness is. Sukham atyantikam tat yat tat buddhi grayam atyendriyam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 21. Real happiness must be appreciated by one's transcendental senses. Unless one is purified, the transcendental senses are not manifest. Therefore, to purify the senses, one must take to Krishna consciousness and engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Then there will be real happiness and liberation. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text 8. Shariram yad avapnuti yachapyal The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. If the wind passes over a garden of roses, it will carry the aroma of roses. And if it passes over a filthy place, it will carry the stench of obnoxious things. Similarly, King Puranjan, the living entity, now passes the air of his life over his wife, a woman. Therefore, he has to accept the body of a woman in his next life. Before I begin speaking on this Srimad Bhagavatam, I'd like to ask for the permission of all the assembled Vaishnavas and your blessings, please.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Obhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadham Hagiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Prabodhayati Ma Vigyam Vyushita Soka Harshita Vatmaita Kriya Medhyam Vira Sura Pineshati. King Puranjan continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel, and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. It is stated in the Padma Purana, Smatavya Satatam Vishnu Vishmatavyo Na Jatachit Sarva Vidhi Nisheda Chyu Etayor Evakinkana, that of all the rules and regulations that one has to follow, the most important is to always remember Krishna and never to forget Krishna. And all other rules and regulations are servants of this principle. We see here that in pursuance of material happiness and creating better material facilities for enjoyment, King Puranjan has completely forgotten the goal and mission of life. And he is now in a state of bewilderment where he is seeing his wife as that person who is giving him so much pleasure. And he needs to be engaged in that relationship. He begins to reminisce of how she would dutifully only take his dinner after he ate his. She would only bathe after he bathed. And she would become quiet and tolerant even though his behavior was not proper. And today's verse, he is recalling how she would always give him good counsel in terms of when he was unhappy or bewildered. And when he would become disturbed and leave the home for some reason, she will become very much aggrieved. All of these are causes for attachment. If somebody feels that another person is so dependent on you, then the tendency is to become very much carried away by that feeling. Oh, this person is so attached to me. They cannot live without me. They will not eat without me. They will not sleep without me. So in this way, one forgets Krishna. But here it states in the Padma Purana that the goal of all rules and regulations, the prime principle of all these rules and regulations, is to always remember Krishna and never to forget Krishna. With so many allurements and distractions in this world, it is a challenge to do that. Indeed, it is a struggle to do that. But Krishna, out of his mercy, has created many opportunities for us to remember him. And those empowered beings who help us remember Krishna the most are the Vaishnavas. So we should always offer our respects to the Vaishnavas. Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeh evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Because it is through the Vaishnavas that we can remember Krishna. It is described in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita many facilities and aspects of the material world which can help us to remember Krishna. Krishna says he's the sun and the moon, the light of the moon and the sun, he's the strength of the strong, of immovable things he is the Himalayas, of great mountains he is the Meru, of fishes he is the shark. So in this way we can see, even in our day-to-day lives and activities and interaction with the material world, there are things that can remind us of Krishna. But in our darkest hour, in our time of greatest need, it will be the Vaishnavas who remind us of Krishna. So one cannot quantify the importance of proper Vaishnava association to make this mission of life accomplishable for us in our struggle. This verse from the Padma Purana is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the Madhya Lila chapter 22 text 113. Prabhupada says in that purport, the Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, that to help us constantly remember Krishna and think of Krishna, we have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the means to remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it becomes possible to make this principle of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Him, a reality. Yes. It is described in this purport, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 113, that of all the obligations and instructions given by the spiritual master, the most important is to daily chant his quota of 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When we chant attentively, we invite Krishna into our lives, into our consciousness. And when Krishna is there, there's no space for Maya. There was a little advert on television in the days I used to watch television of a Christian program. So in this Christian program, the pastor said, we should fill our minds with thoughts of God so there's no space for evil, which in our terms means Maya. So if we are constantly engaged in thinking, hearing, remembering Vishnu, then there's been no place for Maya's influence. Prabhupada goes on to say in this purport that apart from the services that we have to do in terms of temple services, the duties of a householder, the service of a brahmachari preaching, all of these things, apart from that, this chanting is the most important activity. But those activities must be done in a mindful state. Why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? Then, if we investigate and realize, oh, I'm doing this for the Lord, then we should do it very diligently. Krishna is conscious. We speak of Krishna conscious, it means being conscious of Krishna. But Krishna himself is conscious. So he knows the mood in which you do something. He is not obliged or forced to accept your offering. In fact, he is self-satisfied, Atmara. In the purport of chapter 9, text 26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti paryajati tadaham bhakti paratam ashnami prayatatmana. In the purport of that verse, if one offers me your love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Prabhupada alludes to this point, that Krishna is having all facilities for enjoyment on his own. In fact, from him emanate so many Lakshmis who then serve him to the best of their abilities, and they are quite capable of serving him. So if we have some mixed motive or mixed mentality when engaging in devotional service, it will not be so tasteful for the Lord. Devotional service itself may be divided into three modes. It's not that devotional service is always attractive to the Lord. Pure devotional service is attracted to Krishna Karshati. You're able to attract Krishna by pure devotional service. However, in the attempt to get to that point of Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service, that itself is attractive to Krishna. So it brings me back to the point of the struggle which I mentioned earlier. Everyone in this material world is struggling, ourselves included. We may think, oh, I've come to Krishna consciousness, why struggle? It is a struggle to stay awake during japa. That's one struggle. And if you can accomplish that, then the rest of the struggle becomes quite easy. It is a struggle to balance out our various responsibilities in this world and still serve the order of the predecessor acharyas, foremost of which is Srila Prabhupada and our initiating spiritual master. It is a struggle to withstand the test and allurements of the material energy. She never takes a holiday. She works 24/7, 365. Double overtime. And she is always alluring us. So it's a struggle to fight against it. So this is why my statement can be justified, that life is a struggle for everybody in this material. But we have Krishna. And we know about Krishna. So we are in an extremely advantageous position. With that advantageous position and that mercy comes great responsibility. The responsibility therefore becomes, okay, we are sitting secure in our knowledge of Krishna and the fact that this struggle has a solution and you know what the solution is. Now the thing is to share to those who are struggling but they don't know that the positive alternative, the escape route, the backdoor key is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru and Gauranga. So to introduce people to this point is very, very important. This is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. In previous purports to today's, Srila Prabhupada alludes to this point, saying that the highest welfare activity is to reintroduce people, reconnect people to Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Now, we all have an original consciousness. We are all originally pure Krishna conscious entities. Prabhupada says in a very famous lecture, you may recognize these words. As living spiritual souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter since time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by the material atmosphere. This is a purport Prabhupada gives on the Hare Krishna mantra. So our position as part and parcel of Krishna is to serve. Spirit soul must serve the spirit whole. It's as simple as that. But our tendency is to try to enjoy separately of Krishna. This mentality is the reason why we are in this material world. Actually, all of us are in a situation of falling down from our original spiritual position of being associates of the Lord. And we should lament. We should greatly lament that fact that we're no longer with Krishna. We're no longer having bodies which are eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, but our body is covered with so many layers of ignorance. It is a cause of such distress and a great source of disturbance and anxiety. Why do we deviate from our original consciousness? It is because of lust. Now lust doesn't necessarily mean gross lust, physical lust in terms of sex life, but the tendency to enjoy separately of Krishna. This is what lust means. The tendency to enjoy separately of Krishna. This is why we are here, incarcerated. This body is actually a prison uniform. Once His Holiness Kadamakananda Maharaj was giving class and he mentioned that the body is so heavy, he feels weighed down. Without it, he could fly in kirtan. And if you've seen Kadamakananda Maharaj dance in kirtan, this is possible. He can fly in kirtan. So, why this deviation from our original spiritual nature? It is due to this eternal enemy, nitya vairinya, lust, which is never satisfied and it burns like fire. Until what stage will lust disturb us? This question was asked, was mentioned actually to one famous emperor by his minister, that lust will never leave you till you die. The emperor found this very difficult to believe. So his minister, being very intelligent and astute, told him, okay, tomorrow you come with me. We'll visit one of your subjects who's on the deathbed. He's about to die. But you bring with you your daughter. emperor had a very beautiful princess, daughter, empress. So the next morning they came to visit the dying man, and the minister mentioned to the emperor, please notice this man's face and where his attention is focused. So here's a person who's on his deathbed, and anybody who is of in a sober state of mind, if somebody like a royalty walks into the room, for example, one sannyasi walks into this room now, we'll show due respect to him. But under the circumstances, this person, instead of giving his attention and his focus to Emperor Akbar, he instead focuses his attention on the beautiful daughter. So then Emperor Akbar got the point. Yes, until the point of death, this lust, this tendency to enjoy our senses separately of Krishna will continue. And this is amazing point actually, because the more we try to enjoy sense gratification in this material world, the more we suffer. But the tendency and the desire to enjoy sense gratification is the reason for us being in the material world in the first place. This point is pointed out by Maharaj Rishabhdev in the 5th canto. Nunam pramatta kurte vikarma yad indriya pitya aprinoti. That the cause for us being encaged in this material body in the first place in this world of suffering is because of our tendency to enjoy separately of Krishna. And still if we engage in acts of sense gratification, this is foolishness actually. Activities which are not centered around Krishna will cause bondage. That's mentioned here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yagyata karmanonatnyatra lokayam karma bandhana. This karma bandhana, bondage by activities, is the only result of sense gratification. You get more and more bound. But those same activities devoted, dovetailed in the service of the Lord, can bring liberation. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purnamar was mentioning yesterday that if the husband and wife continue serving with the consciousness that Krishna is in the center of our home, and we should continue their activities in a Krishna conscious way, at the end they will find Krishna by the activities. So that same activities which can bind one can be the cause of one's liberation also. Now our situation is not all doom and gloom. There is hope, there is inspiration, and we can look at the lives of some of the devotees who we've seen pass away in Krishna consciousness, and it's very glorious. A few days ago, His Grace Guru Sevananda Prabhu was mentioning about how Krishna Kishore Prabhu left his body in such a glorious way. So I can recall during my recent visit to South Africa, there's a devotee named Krishna Prasad Prabhu. This Krishna Prasad Prabhu very suddenly had a stroke. Stroke, heart attack are something unexpected. So he had a stroke. And he was lying in like a semi-conscious comatose state for about a week to 10 days. And in this time, he was invalid, he was immobile. He was only able to move his left side. But what his wife did was to arrange many things peripherally in the hospital, like a tulsi plant. Some devotees brought Giriraj Shila and kept there also. Waters from different kundas in the dam. And tapes of Srila Prabhupada chanting japa and some slokas. And devotees would regularly come and sing kirtan, bhajan for him. So then his spiritual master came to visit him. His Holiness Parthasarathi Das Goswami Maharaj. And whilst Maharaj was there, talking to him, chanting to him, Krishna Prasad Prabhu, remember his right side is incapacitated, his left side can move because stroke sometimes only affects half the body. He had his hand in his japa, beads, just loosely because he had no mobility of the hand. Then after some time of his spiritual master sitting there for some time, Krishna Prasad raised his right hand and shook his beads. Like if you're chanting japa, you shake your beads so they don't get tangled. So he shook his beads and put it down and he started to roll on his fingers. So this is pramanam, if ever there was pramanam, evidence that the soul is conscious. Beyond this gross material body, there is a conscious soul. And it is trying to tune in to Krishna. And those individuals that can help you tune in to Krishna, those are your ever well-wishing friends. So at the time of leaving his body, his spiritual master personally came and encouraged him in this way. So we may say, this devotee, Krishna Prasad Prabhu, he was married, he had four children, Jagannath, Balarev, Subhadra and Yamuna. And they all were raised as devotees. They were college attending students, the girls. Two boys were working actually, one in Johannesburg. And one may think, this is a person who lived his life, but his family is engaged in different things. They're not living in the temple as brahmacharis or brahmacharini. So, but still at the end, when it came to him to leave the body, he knew what was the goal. That is, now it's time to get very serious, to focus my mind on Krishna. My guru is here urging me on. The devotees are here urging me on. Just incidentally, in that room, which is high care in South Africa, intensive care, only two people are allowed to be with him. But at any given time, there were between 50 and 100 devotees surrounding that bed, chanting kirtan and japa. And I think we needed to put some of the nurses on the bed because they were like freaking out. What's wrong with you guys? You know, can't you obey the hospital rules? But the person in charge of Krishna Prasad's care is a very wonderful Vaishnava with a very appropriate name. His name is Vaishnava Pran Das. You may know him. So he coordinated that the devotees had their way, and devotees really had their way. So about 50 plus devotees at any given time chanting kirtan and bhajans for Prabhu. And his leaving was very auspicious and glorious. So although he had the material situation, four children, a business, he was an insurance broker, and association, going out, having to work, come back, run a family, run a household, four children, but still very Krishna conscious. And most important, Krishna conscious at the moment that counts the most, at the time of death. So what does this prove? Anasakta seya visayan nirbandha krishna sambandhe yataram upuyanjate nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchit. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that we should see the utility of a thing and its relationship to Krishna. So family life, having house, children, wife, children, sorry, having house, children, wife, is not necessarily an obstacle in devotional service, so long as that does not become our main absorption. If we can be absorbed in Krishna whilst having those things, they can facilitate our Krishna consciousness actually. So there's a very nice interchange between firstly Dhritarashtra and Vidura, and then after that Yudhishthira and Narada Muni. So Dhritarashtra is in a similar situation as Puranjan here. What is that? He is completely absorbed in enjoying at the cost of those people who tried to kill his sons, who killed his sons actually. And he's so immersed in thoughts of his temporary bodily comfort, it forgets that point. That these are the people who killed my sons. So at that point there's a need for a sadhu. Sadhu means one who cuts. Enter Vidura, Mahatma. So he comes and starts to preach to Dhritarashtra in a very, very heavy way about bodily concept of life, about the fact that these people who are taking care of you try to kill you. I mean, you try to kill them and now they're taking care of it, still you're living with them. And in this way, Dhritarashtra's blind eyes were open. Dhritarashtra is described as not only materially blind, but he's also spiritually blind. But Oma Jnana Timirandasa Jnananjala Shalakaya. That the eyes can be opened by the spiritual master. So Vidura, the brother of Dhritarashtra, is serving as his instructing guru. Thereafter, Dhritarashtra quits his home. But at the end of that chapter, Yudhishthira comes. Oh, auntie, uncle, where are you? Who will take care of you? I need to take care of you. So this mentality was there that if I was not there to care for my uncle and auntie, they will suffer. But then Narada Muni appears on the scene and says two important verses. Canto 1, chapter 13, text 45 and 46. In text 45, Narada Muni says that out of ignorance of the self, we think that others are depending on us to care for them. In the purport of that verse, Canto 1, chapter 13, text 45, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is the only maintainer of everybody. Bhuta Brit. That we may be thinking we're maintaining our family members, our wife, our children, our friends, but actually Krishna is maintaining them and us. Next verse, very interesting, 1:13:46. It is mentioned that the living entity is caught in the jaws of a serpent of time. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the serpent is a cobra and there's no escape from the bite of a cobra. Once you're bitten, surely you will die. But to escape being attacked and killed by the cobra of time, that's the analogy, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we should engage in devotional service. And he quotes the verse, Mam Cha Vyabhicharina. What is that? Chapter 14, text 26. That by engaging in devotional service without deviation, one can elevate ourselves from the grips of the modes of material nature. Yesterday also, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purana Swami was mentioning about the mode of goodness also being one of the modes. And as long as one is conditioned by the mode of goodness even, one is still entangled in this material world. So this was Narada Muni's disqualification. In Canto 1, it's described how Narada Muni perfected his life having served the Bhakti Vedantas. But he didn't go home back to Godhead. Why? Because he still had that attraction to a very mode of goodness environment. He wanted to live in the forest. So at the end, he couldn't go back to Godhead. So he got another chance and he transferred to a spiritual body, that of the great sage Narada Muni. So, to maintain our Krishna consciousness, like I mentioned earlier, is a struggle. But we should not give up the fights. And we can take lessons from a bird. A very small bird, actually, a sparrow. In chapter 6, text 24, there's an example given of a sparrow. This sparrow laid her eggs on the ocean shore. And the natural consequence was the waves of the ocean swept away the eggs. Sparrow was so much disturbed. Oh, what will I do now? But she didn't give up hope. An immediate action was to try to empty the ocean. So she threatened. She waved a wing. Ocean, you better give back my eggs. I will empty you. And the ocean laughed. Ha ha, what can you do? Silly bird. But she continued. Other living entities, beings, laughed at the impossible determination of the sparrow, but she did not give up. She continued beak by beak to try to empty the ocean. Her efforts were noticed by another bird, Garuda, who was a carrier of Vishnu. And he immediately came to the scene and he waved his mighty wing at the ocean and said, if you don't return this eggs of this sparrow, I will take up the job. And immediately the ocean returned the eggs. So this shows that to succeed in Krishna consciousness is not easy, but it takes determination. What is that? Utsayanishchayat dhairyat. Determination, patience, endeavoring with confidence and enthusiasm. Like Maharaj was mentioning yesterday, we have to know the goal. If the goal of our life is set, I want Krishna, I don't want anything but Krishna, then what happens between me and getting to Krishna is a small price to pay for getting that ultimate goal. It's, for example, we all here living in Mayapur in the spiritual world. It's not that we just jumped on a plane and we waltzed onto the plane, sat in the plane and then waltzed off the plane and then got bumped on that road from Kolkata and then waltzed off the taxi into our rooms. No. It's a great struggle. For me at least. So we should always be grateful for the fact that we are here in Mayapur, and the fact that it was a great endeavor for us to come here. And we must understand that to come here is glorious, and whilst we are here, we should make use of the best opportunity. This material body is a bad bargain, Srila Prabhupada says. But what did he say? Make the best use of the bad bargain. How to do that? Whilst you're in this material body, struggling in so many different ways, trying to engage in Krishna consciousness activities as much as possible. If a wife or a husband will help on that, great. If not, then that's an obstacle, not an assistance. So we have to constantly... I appreciated the point that Janakdeep Prabhu made a few days ago about how often am I thinking about Krishna? When's the last time I remembered Krishna? So this evaluation of our consciousness should always be there, a check and balance system. Am I thinking of Krishna? Am I making an attempt to remember Krishna? Is this activity connected to Krishna? And to help us remember that are the Vaishnavas. Therefore we say, Panchakaupaturubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Because while we are deviating, if we are deviating, it is the Vaishnavas who will point it out. Hey Prabhu, have you chanted today? Prabhu, you know you must chant. Prabhupada says 16 rounds minimum a day. Okay, I'll chant. And maybe about 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. that day, you finish your 16 rounds. But best thing is to chant most of your rounds or all of your rounds as early as possible and have a Krishna conscious day and life. So I'll end with one quote from His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who blossomed into a black lotus cultivated by the hand of Srila Prabhupada. So Maharaj says, we are showing what is possible, and we are willing to share this to solve the seemingly unsolvable problems of the world. And we're inviting others to join us. So this was said by Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj in the grand opening of the Sri Sri Radharadhana Temple in Durban, South Africa. In Krishna consciousness, a little effort goes a long, long way. Because not only are all attempts at material happiness a failure, they are temporary. So anything you do on the material platform will not be carried to the next lifetime. But anything you do on the spiritual platform, even if you don't achieve full success in this lifetime, you continue from where you started. So what's to lose? There's everything to be gained. The ultimate gain, Krishna is there at the end if you successfully accomplish this. So if there's any comments or questions or encouragement, words of advice, I can accept now. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.